The Free For All Roundtable.
Round one.
On round one today, Pavan Brach is here, serial entrepreneur in health and tech, Toronto City Councillor Shelley Carroll, and News Talk 1010's Robert Turner. And apparently, I ruined your coat yesterday.
No, you just got a beer all over it.
Yeah, well, it's not like I spilled it on you.
Well, it was your beer, and it spilled all over my coat, so I don't know how you weren't responsible.
You let your coat drag on the floor of a baseball stadium.
We can fight about this later. I don't know who doesn't know when you get a beer at a ball game, it's open.
I didn't.
Well, I know. I don't know how. Yeah, go to more ball games. It's kind of a thing.
All right. Let's begin at Queen's Park, and then we'll navigate a few other thorny issues. But the speaker banning Palestinian keffiyehs, and the premier says let people wear what they want to wear. Pavan, I'll start with you on this one. I think the presumption in many circles is it's inherently aggressive to wear a keffiyeh, which is a scarf that Palestinians and many other Arabs wear. And so it's seen as anti-Israeli.
Yeah, I think that would definitely be the perception. And you do see them at protests and things like that. And, it's a sensitive issue, this one. But it's, my perspective would be that, listen, if it's for protest, it's one thing. If it's part of your everyday dress, I mean, if that's the way you operate and that's part of your belief system, then that's fine. But, I don't know that it's one of those issues where I'm not sure that it's fair to allow people to continue to wear all different types of protest articles and things like that throughout when they're operating in a place where all faiths, all people who enter the building, legislature, have to feel comfortable. So maybe there's a protest day or something like that, but if it's not part of your regular dress, I'm not sure that it was a bad idea.
Yeah, Robert Turner, I've never seen so many keffiyehs since October 7th, so clearly somebody can say, no, it's just a traditional scarf, but there's a reason why you're wearing it.
Yeah, and maybe that should be the rule. Like, if you can show us lots of pictures of you wearing this last, September, maybe we can have a conversation. But I think if you're wearing it now, it's motivated. And if it's motivated, I mean, you read the speaker's decision on this, and it is thorough, well thought out, well articulated, goes over the history, the fact that we don't do props, right? Like, they're just not allowed. And it at this point is like a prop. You're bringing in a message. So I think he's right. But I also think if his goal was to reduce division, what he's done is set the stage for, and I mean, isn't there a big fight feel for when the galleries open next time? Because all the yahoos that have been let out of jail, who closed the railroad tracks, I imagine they're going to get their keffiyeh and head to the legislature and try and get in, because they want to be on the corner of the CP24 screen being dragged out of Queen's Park by security. So how far are we going to push this?
Yeah, okay. And that's the dilemma for the premier. And by the way, not just the premier, by the end of the day, all three political party leaders, the three major parties, all three of them were saying the ban is a bad idea. So Ted has accidentally caused unity amongst MPPs. But the problem here is I get what he's getting at. It is motivated at this point. But someone downstairs searching people's bags and checking them on the way in has to make that determination. And so he thought, let's just have a ban. Let's just not have them. And so that conversation doesn't have to happen at security. But then for the House, for the MPPs, the ban becomes the argument of the day for the next month. And they just want to avoid that.
Speaking of provocative issues, there's been a lot of fuss on social media over something that was tucked away in the new federal budget. And that is the exploration of the idea of coming up with a regulatory system for halal mortgages. Tim Hudak was on with us in his capacity as the CEO of the Ontario Real Estate Association. He explained, of course, faith prohibits some Muslims from borrowing money and paying interest, or from lending money and charging interest. So it's a bit like how there's no 13th floor in a lot of buildings, because you still do pay for the money, but they come up with a means of disguising that to make it halal compliant. But Robert Turner, I had all sorts of people coming after me, I don't even know why, saying, see, this is the beginning of Sharia law.
Well, because they don't understand the issue. I mean, this is the beginning of looking at a regulatory change that might get more people into homes, which is what I thought we were trying to do. So if we can do this and the government has a mechanism to assist with it, as long as we're not subsidizing it, I don't have a problem with it. It sounds like it's more about regulatory changes to, and as you say, like, it's not interest. Well, you're okay, but somehow that's getting paid for. But if it makes it compliant with someone's faith, you know, that's the kind of inclusion I'm okay with.
And actually, Shelley Carroll, by regulating it and getting the big banks in on it, you take some of the shadier lenders out of the system.
Yes, and that's what happens right now. People get taken advantage of in all sorts of under the table and off book sorts of ways on this. You hope that what they're doing is doing it through the kind of community charity that happens through mosques, but that is still a struggle and is still prohibitive for so many people. And so this just opens the door and really it's an evolution, because it's, you know, this is a faith-based acknowledgement that the world is different for the young people and embracing it and trying to figure out a solution for them. And so, you know, if government and this faith can work together to put more people in homes, then I hope Tim was all for it. And I expect he was, because we know Tim, he just wants to see people in homes.
Yeah, Pavan, the people who were coming after me were saying, look, they're trying to change us. No, they're just trying to come up with a means of borrowing some money and buying a house and sending their kids to school.
Yeah, if they only knew that these folks, you know, were opposed to charging interest, they might be a little happier. I wish there was a better way of describing the mortgage other than associating it with a method of animal slaughter. But you know, I think it's great. You know, we're looking at alternatives to how people can rent to own and so on and so forth. So I think it's perfectly fine.
Shelley, you were all excited or exorcised, I guess, about Caitlin Clark signing, I think it's a 3-year deal, and it works out to about $78,000 a year to play basketball, while the guy who was the top prospect last year signed a total 4-year deal for like $55 million.
Yeah, even if we're talking about entry level, Jontay Porter, who just got banned yesterday, was making $400,000 a year to play in the G Leagues. College men, while they're still in college, get $91,000 a year. We're not even going to give that to this person who brought in more TV ratings than the men at the end of March Madness. More people watched her games than watched the men. On Saturday Night Live, she rocked it, and then people talked about it for the next 2 days all over social media. She clearly has a star power that is worth at least as much as young men are now making to play in the NCAA, not the NBA. This is really insanity, and I think you're going to see people just revisiting it every year as their star power just grows and grows and grows.
Well, Pavan, some people will argue there's not a lot of money in women's sport and in women's basketball, but maybe that's because nobody's putting that money in promo in.
Yeah, it's all market driven. You know, we're not the federal government. We can't pay people to like something or just, you know, to watch things or do things. I mean, we have to let the market dictate what's going to happen. And I take the point of view of not being angry. I'm very happy. Actually, I'm celebrating what she's accomplished, what she's done to change the views of consumers about women's basketball. It's piqued a lot of people's interest. And I think the salary increases will follow very quickly. And certainly celebrity endorsements. I mean, she'll be making a fortune compared to what she's being paid here. So I think it's all good.
Well, yeah. You can expect, you can be not angry, but you can expect women to continue to be angry.
Well, are you angry are you angry that the CFL players don't make as much as the NFL players? It's a different league.
This league overtook the men in terms of television rating with no marketing.
Sure.
And that's star power. Star power needs to be monetized in a fair way.
That sounds to me like the NCAA needs to have a different structure for compensation, and perhaps it should be tied to a ratings.
She's going into the NBA.
Some sort of ratings bonus. Well, isn't she going to the WNBA?
Yes, which is a real thing now. People actually watch it.
Not to the level where they warrant salaries that are on par with the NBA. It may get there. And I mean, she
is an individual.
I'm not
asking for on par. I'm asking that she make at least as much as G League players. I think that's fair.
Maybe she'll
based
be like,
on, based on what though? Yeah. It's not your money. Like, I mean, this is all based on what a league is bringing in sponsorship dollars, tickets. She's going to make a heck of a lot more than her salary because she's a household name. She was on SNL. Yep. She's going to get all kinds of sponsorships. She's going to do okay. Does the base pay need to change? Maybe.
Yeah.
But you're seeing a lot of these teams don't make money. The league doesn't make money. The NBA props it up. So it's, you know, is women's sports changing? Sure. And there are women who make more than men in their sports. I mean, Ronda Rousey in UFC wasn't doing badly because she was a huge draw. So it really comes down to making sure everybody's got a fair piece of the pie if they're the one drawing in the rate. If they drew bigger ratings than the men and they didn't get compensation for that, that's a structural issue.
They did in March Madness, and I think we're about to see that happen again and again.
And one last note, Robert Turner, to your point, I always amuse myself by asking CFL players what they do for a living. Okay. There's a loosely knit organization of people who advocate on behalf of pedestrians, cyclists, and others, and they're calling on government to do something about gigantic pickup trucks and SUVs. Let's start with somebody who's in government, Shelley Carroll. It is alarming. People who ride inside of these vehicles, and there are more of them and they're getting bigger, are much safer, but the people they hit are much more likely to die.
Yeah. It's almost certain fatality at even, you know, some of our in-city low speeds at 40 kilometers. And it's because it's not just a bump. Because they can't see you, you're likely going to take a much greater impact, and they're not going to stop fast enough. And so it's a problem. And governments have failed again and again to have an impact over the insurance industry. One thing would be to just jack up the insurance based on the height of your grill. But we don't have that control. We've proven that we fail at that again and again. So going after the manufacturer and trying to get them to change the safety rating according to the height of that grill is okay. I guess, an attempt.
Pavan, you're a part-time farmer, so do you drive a pickup truck?
I have one. It's from 1990. It has push-button AM radio still. You'll be pleased to hear.
Oh, God bless.
Yes, indeed. It's out there running. But no, I do have a larger vehicle for daily use. And, you know, listen, with all due respect to bikers and walkers, you know, my friends in those, you know, those worlds, of course, there is this kind of general trend of activist anti-car, you know, kind of sentiment. And, you know, I think that they tend to overreact. And this is obviously it's a major issue, but I mean, I don't think we can legislate away. We can't close lanes, create barriers, keep punishing car drivers when our province is a manufacturer and exporter of cars. I mean, we have to take an approach that says, listen, the people who are driving dangerously, who are not stopping at red lights, we have to have better enforcement. If we enforce the rules that are on the books, and we use, frankly, if we use technology to do so, because it's clear the police are not interested in doing it nowadays. You can look at the tickets issued over the last 10 years, and they steadily decline. So, you know, we have to address bad behavior, bad driving, regardless of the vehicle size. And I would also point out that a lot of these vehicles now have amazing technology that does give the driver a warning. So enforcement over restriction.
Okay.
Yeah, but if these things are provably more dangerous and harder to operate, like, if this, is there a reason, or is it bad driving, or is it just the consequences are worse because the vehicle design? All of those things need to be looked at. Maybe these things need a different class of license if you're going to drive a giant SUV, because we already have that based on size and weights of vehicles. So maybe that's part of how to deal with this. But I'm also with Pavan. You also have cameras all around cars and stopping systems. So you would hope that these things would be getting better, not worse.
We're going to have to draw the line there. Thank you all very much. Robert Turner, Pavan Brach, Shelley Carroll. And actually, Shelley, before you leave, very quickly, but today on council, everyone's going to thrash it out over the vacant home tax.
Yeah, the mayor's motion simply says redesign it. It needs to be way better next year, and no one pays a late fee of any kind. So sit tight, don't pay your bill, and council will authorize the fix today.
And somebody got fired.
Well, let's just say that personnel matters can't be discussed on the air.
Okay, they got futured endeavored.
Is someone paying a vacant office tax at City Hall now?
Catch the Roundtable, round one at 7:45, round two at 8:45. Weekday mornings on More in the Morning, News Talk 1010 Toronto.